Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Probably True. I'm here talking to writer, YouTuber, dungeon master, not like that, well, maybe like that, I don't know, and activist, Matt Baume. He's telling us how Pinocchio helped him go from this.
Here's what you have to know about me is that I'm super, super shy, painfully, aggressively retiring in life.
To this.
If somebody has invented a new way to have fun with their penis, I want to hear about it.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Probably True. Please be aware that this podcast may contain strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
So, here's what you have to know about me is that I'm super, super shy. I have a big online personality and I like to get on camera and live stream and podcast and talk big. But that's just my way of covering up the fact that I am like painfully, aggressively retiring in life. So, that is the context in which I was chatting, this is many years ago, with some boys on one of the apps. It was actually a website, I think, back in the day before the apps, I think. Just, you know, chatty with, various attractive men and trying to do my best and not be, like, incredibly awkward and scare them away. Yeah, so, I think one of my things that, like, in hindsight might have been sort of a turnoff for some of these conversations was maybe this was just a weird thing to introduce early in the conversation, but I would often say something along the lines of, anyway, it would be lovely to hear back from you, like inviting a response. But now that I look back on that, I'm like, is that too forward? Anyway, I don't know. But like, it sounds like a little demanding, like respond to me immediately, please. I'm very good at like courtship of 100 years ago, I think is my style. So like if somebody like rang a little bell, if I got too close to somebody to wear like a chaperone, then I think I'd be totally comfortable. So in this scenario, I was getting a really nice response from this one guy. He was very handsome. I was very into him. He was very my type. And in our conversations, he brought up his interest in donkey play, which was a term I was passingly familiar with because I'd written about pup play and pony play. And so I was like, I guess I can extrapolate. What exactly are we talking about here? And he's like, well, let's meet up for coffee.
Okay. I would definitely want to be somewhere with witnesses before he starts talking about that kind of thing.
Well, so that was my strategy. So we met up at I think it was a Starbucks or something. And there he is. There are no red flags. He looks like his profile picture. He's a nice guy. We have similar interests. We talk at length about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So all the like, yes, okay, this is good. Signs are there. And then we go for a little stroll. We just like basically walk around the block and he expresses his interest in basically. So he was very nervous, as was I, you know, like actually meeting a person in person is like, I was like freezing up and I could tell that he was nervous too. And so he was interested in a Pleasure Island scenario. He wanted to enjoy himself and indulge, but to enjoy himself a little too much and to lose control of his body and his voice and his clothing and become basically a dumb beast. And he wanted me to do that to him. And so I was like, huh, okay, well, I guess, sure, let's try that. So we didn't do this on the first date. So it was like we did a walk around the block and we're like,
that's definitely a second date kind of
exactly
scenario,
yeah growing a tail. So we made plans for a future meetup and the day came and he came over and just because I was ever so slightly still nervous and like this person might be crazy, I don't 100% know, before he came over I hid all of the knives in the house just in case, like probably an overreaction, but I was like, okay, I just like, I don't want there to be weapons close at hand. I want to be the only one who knows where the weapons are. So I don't remember where I put them, like in the linen closet or something. I just like anything sharp went away. But he was delightful and a big nerd like me. And we talked more about Star Trek when he came over and then basically spun up this little scenario where it was like, he's the mean jock and I'm the nerd who he's been pushing around. As he is like lording it over me that he's bigger and stronger, because he was bigger and stronger than me. Basically, I start hypnotizing him and convincing him that he's turning into a donkey. And he like wanted to like fully get down on all fours and naked and all this stuff. And so I'm like, okay, I'll see what I can do. I mean, I'm a writer by trade. I can put together a sentence. I can do some characterization. So let's see what we can come up with here. We're off to the races, and he is like just sort of like doing his best like dumb jock sort of thing and like bossing me around and like being kind of patronizing and insulting to me. And I have to say I was kind of into it, and I was like, can we just do this? But it was going well, and he was super sexy. And then I'm like, okay, I guess it's my turn. And so I start describing for him, what happened? How come your hands are so like tight? How come your hands are in fists and you can't take your hands out of fists? And he's like, I don't know what's happening. And I'm like, seems like they're turning into hooves. And he's like, oh my god, what are you doing to me? And like, it progresses from there, and I'm like describing how his ears, like I reach over and I like pull his ears, and I tell him that he's growing a tail, and I'm like, you know, you look like a donkey right now. Donkeys don't wear clothes, so you have to take your clothes off. And like bossing him into this, and he's like, what are you doing? And eventually he winds up naked on all fours, and through some contrivance of the plot, I don't even remember, I'm naked as well, and we're having a great time. I had a neoprene like bulldog harness, and so I got that on him like it was like a bridle or like, you know, like a harness or something. This was all very hot, and then he is on all fours, and he indicates that he wants me to ride him. And so I get on his back, he brays, and that is the moment at which I was like, oh wait, this is stupid. This is what we're doing is incredibly silly and dumb. And it kind of broke it for me in the moment there. So I was having a great time. And then I was like, whoops, this is silly. And I don't know if it's silly for him. And I can't ask him because he's only braying now. And I can't like step out of the scene without like totally ending it. So went along with things, kept it going. But the whole time I was like, how seriously is he taking this? I don't know if this is serious or not for him. Because he seemed like fully into it and having a great time. And so finally, we concluded our affair and got dressed, and we're having
mutually satisfied, I hope.
Mutually satisfied. Yeah, he actually, okay. Like, there's a, he did something really clever, which was he had a signal, like, I have a feeling like you've done this before, haven't you? He had a signal for when he was ready to reach his moment of crisis, which was there was a bowl of water on the floor. And when he drank out of the bowl, like leaned in on all fours and drank out of the bowl of water, that was his indication that he was ready to conclude.
Remarkably coordinated for such a moment. I'm flailing all over the place. I wouldn't be able to do that.
I think he really had this choreographed, which was, you know, made things easy for me. But anyway, so we wrapped up, and it was like, it was great. And we both felt very good. And I like, after we parted ways, mutually satisfied, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, aside from like my moment of basically breaking the fourth wall, I had a good time, and he was sexy, and he had a good time. I'm sure it is difficult for him to find someone who's willing to indulge this. And I found that I really lost a lot of my shyness in that one encounter. I felt a lot more bold about expressing what I wanted out of encounters, and a lot more eager to roll out new ideas and be like, what about this? And so it was honestly, in the moment, it was very fun, and then also mutually beneficial. And I will say, like, that moment where I was like, oh dear, I find this very silly. Like, there was an important lesson for me there as well, because, as much as we had talked about like the scenario and, the bowl of water on the floor, the one thing that we didn't talk about that we should have was just how silly what we're doing is, because sex is silly and everyone looks ridiculous and it's always embarrassing and dumb. You know, if you could see yourself having sex, often you're like, oh God, do I really look like that? And that's fine. It just needs a little acknowledgement, I think, beforehand of like, we're going to do something kind of goofy and we're both going to enjoy it. And that's great. And we didn't have that. And it really like took me out of the scene for a moment in a way that now when I try to engage, I'm very into the silliness of it all and like laughing at our goofy positions and strange, you know, smells and noises and stuff like that. Because it's, you know, sex is silly. And that's my preferred mode is silliness. So let's acknowledge it and make it okay.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. When you're lacking confidence or feeling a little bit unsure, just ride a man like a donkey and everything mm-hmm. will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like it did a lot for me.
And for him too, apparently.
I think so. We still occasionally are in touch. He's on the other side of the country from me now. And every now and then, we'll, you know, just exchange a little message like, you know, turn into anything fun lately or something like that. And he's still doing his thing. He's very into like nudism and being naked out of doors and, you know, places that are appropriate to do that, not just like going to the grocery store, but going into like naked places. And I'm like, okay, that might be my next thing to try because I haven't. Oh, I've done it. I've been to a naked beach once, and I was felt very like again felt very like shy and self conscious because that's the kind of person I am. But I feel like what I need is like another epiphany like that. Just go do it. Be like, hey, this is all silly. Bodies are silly. They're just like bags of meat, and they're ridiculous. That might be my next thing to give it a go and see what happens.
We'll be back with more from Matt after this. Do you find yourself thinking that there's just not enough of me in your life? Then sign up to Probably True Patreon and get access to additional content from Probably True, by which I mean me. All you have to do to get your hands on all of this brilliant content is go to patreon.com/probablytrue. That's patreon.com/probablytrue. Once you sign up, you choose how much you want to give me per episode, and you only get charged when I publish new stuff. So, if, for example, I went 6 months without bringing out any new episodes, you wouldn't be paying for me to sit there on my arse, wanking like a chimp. This is great for you, as it incentivizes me to make new episodes for your ears and brain to enjoy, and it's great for me because I like money. Alternatively, if you're a business or a brand with some spare cash lying around, drop me a line and I can take it off your hands. In return, you could sponsor an episode, meaning your message will get to literally some fans. Anyway, back to Matt.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Was he endowed as such? Did he make a convincing donkey in certain ways?
I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Goodness. Did you de-hypnotize him? Did you turn him back into a man, or is he still out there somewhere, like braying at strangers and things?
You know, I never thought about that, but
some say on a moonless night you can hear him clopping around.
Oh no, this poor man. No, I don't think I ever did. Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about hypnosis. Like, de-induce him. I don't know what to call it. But yeah, I think we just finished up, and then it was just back to normal. So, no, he's got some like subtle post-hypnotic trigger implanted somewhere in his psyche.
Do you know why a donkey? Was it the kind of the Pinocchio kind of scene rather than the donkey itself? Or did
I
he
think
just...
That's it. I think some people just imprint on that Pinocchio scene because it really is like, I went back and watched it afterwards. It really is quite visceral. And I think often people's sexual interests reflect their anxieties. And if somebody has anxieties about indulging and guilt, I think it speaks to that. I think if somebody has body image issues, I think it speaks to that. I think if somebody has issues about abandonment, I think it speaks to that. So I think like that one scene hits a lot of anxieties and allows people to eroticize them if they so choose. So yeah, I think that scene does a lot for people of a certain who are processing a certain level of baggage.
Like, I think you're right when you say that in the moment we all occasionally have that kind of what am I doing kind of thing. I find it reminded me most of moments when I've been perhaps a little bit too drunk in the club or something. And then suddenly lucidity returns just as I'm like bundling someone into a cubicle in the toilets or getting in an Uber with someone whose name I can't remember or something like that. But to do it mid riding a donkey is...
Yeah.
That must have been quite jarring.
It was. He was like, at the time he had like his hands like balled up into hooves and he was like stomping at the ground. And it was like, I was just overwhelmed with the silliness, the artifice of it all. And I was like, I'm not in the imagination space anymore. I'm just like looking at this as two fully grown adults and I feel weird. But then, you know, you're willing to forgive a lot when you're enjoying your company. So, I was able to get back into the scene because he was very handsome. But yeah, it definitely challenged me.
Were you afraid at all? Were there any moments when you were like, oh, he's really getting into this? And if he's bigger than you and kind of stronger than you anyway? I mean, you know, you said you hid the knives, but were there any moments when you just kind of thought, oh, I am in way over my head right now?
No, because he was so clearly nervous and he was very shy as well. And so I was like, I mean, I guess shy people can be serial killers too, but I feel like I definitely had a feeling that he was more afraid of me than I was of him.
Okay. Well, that's always nice. It's good to know that you're the scary one out of yeah. the two of them, I suppose. Especially as you're the one who knows where the weapons are.
Yeah, exactly. And, and I've also done the stuff of like, you know, I was set to call a friend at a certain time to let them know that I was okay, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very well done.
Yes.
Just going back to how you met him, because you went out for coffee and he explained it all to you. Was there not a point then where you kind of just thought, oh, good Lord, maybe I should just walk away?
I mean,
I'm glad you didn't, but...
I guess, so my attitude with this was, and many other things, is if somebody has invented a new way to have fun with their penis, I want to hear about it. And that was basically it. I do some level of journalism. I'm not sure that this would qualify, but my curiosity was intense enough that I was like, tell me more. And by the time I heard more, I was like, oh, no, I can see it. I see where we're going with this. Sure, let's give it a try.
Is there a community out there? If you wanted to, could you find more people to hypnotize into being donkeys?
Absolutely, easily. At the snap of a finger, I have written a lot about strange sexual subcultures. I write a lot about furries. I write about mermaid fetishists. I did a ton of journalism about pups when we were in the pup bubble a few years ago. And yes, there is absolutely, I mean, there's a community for every weird thing you can imagine. And this is one of them.
Which is lovely in a way. Even if what you're into you think is particularly weird, there are definitely people out there who are into it with you.
Yeah.
That's really nice. And yeah. Even if they're not particularly into it, such as your good self, you're willing to give it a go just for funsies.
I like to see people enjoying themselves.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you haven't positioned yourself as the donkey master of Seattle or anything like that.
Honestly, like opportunities to do it are few. And but here's the thing is like, I just like to see people, like I said, enjoying themselves. And so if it came up, I wouldn't say no. And also, it's also kind of a lot of work. It's a little bit more hassle. What I found is, like, often fantasies that are fun in your head are not as fun when you're actually doing them. And so I think it's more, for me at least, it's more of a, like, fun to think about than actually worth doing. Because, like, when you actually, like, try to get into something as complicated as that, like pup play, I feel the same way about. There's, you get to a point where you're like, I mean, I like imagining all this, but when I actually do it, I get tired of all the setup that it takes. I mean, that's my preferred, like, let's get in, get out, so to speak, and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, the cuddling of it all is more of interest to me, which is, I think, why I was into the donkey scenarios, because a lot of that was just rubbing up against each other and describing feelings. And so it felt it was a lot less work than all the heaving and the sweating of other endeavors.
I mean, I want to talk more about heaving and sweating, but let's stay on point for now. I'm interested to just touch on the confidence that it kind of gave you and the kind of way it pops your little self-doubt bubble.
Yeah, I think it was probably seeing that here's a person who likes something that is difficult to even address with other people, and he had the nerve to bring it up with me, a stranger at the time. And so if he can do it, what's holding me back, honestly? Like, you know, if someone could be like, can you turn me into a donkey? Like, why am I being so shy and retiring about, like, oh, I kind of would like to make out with you. So, you know, I think that was a big part of it. And also, I will say, like, one very sensory detail after he left was the smell of his sweat lingered in the apartment. It was a very hot day, and so we both gotten really sweaty, and I could still kind of smell him after he left, which was, for one thing, just very hot. But also, like, it was a little reminder of, like, there was a person here, and we did something, and we both had a great time, and I did something that I wanted to do. I let myself enjoy myself. I guess I was sort of, you know, I gave myself over like Pinocchio and Lampwick on Pleasure Island. Like, I just did a thing that I wanted to, and it went really well, and I had a good time. So I think a lot of the maybe guilt that I felt about, like, oh, one mustn't enjoy oneself too much, it just kind of went away. And, like, I did enjoy myself, and it was great. And here's this smell was sort of a reminder of that, of sort of a conquest. I don't know, just filled me with a lot of a sense of accomplishment and excitement for the next time.
Wow, that's really uplifting.
Yeah,
in a sweaty, sexy, raw kind of way.
Yeah,
aww, yeah. Nice.
Power of sweat.
Mm. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm getting ever so slightly hot under the collar myself. I feel like we should end this before it becomes an entirely different kind of podcast.
I'm fanning myself.
With your bulldog harness, presumably.
yes, exactly.
Oh, well, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's opened my eyes, certainly. And I don't think I'll look at you or anyone in quite the same light again after that. That's...
You never know. Donkeys, they're all around us.
If you want to check out more of Matt's work, or if you want to ask him to turn you into a donkey yourself, there's all sorts of ways to get in touch.
Oh, there's lots of places. So you can just follow me on Twitter at Matt Baume, MattBaume. And I also have a podcast called The Sewers of Paris, where we don't often tell stories like this one, but I interview queer folks about entertainment that's changed their lives. I had you on a few months ago to talk about your love of cake, among other things. And then I've got another show called Queens of Adventure, that is drag queens playing Dungeons and Dragons, and that's at queensofadventure.com.
And I definitely recommend listening to all of his podcasts. He's very good. That was Probably True, a repeatedly award-winning storytelling series created by me, Scott Flashheart, to help remind all of my sisters and brothers that we are none of us alone. Big thanks to Matt Baume for joining in this week, and if you'd like to tell your story, please get in touch via the website probablytruepodcast.com, where you can also find transcripts of every episode and links to all the good stuff. Otherwise, you can get in touch by searching Probably True Podcast on the socials.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.